I'm freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
Go
fuck yourself. And I am a sports entertainer.
Welcome everybody to your favorite New Japan Pro Wrestling Podcast. Today I'm Charlie, joined as always by the wonderful the Duke of Dubs. How's it going, Duke? So today we had New Japan Pro Wrestling's The New Beginning in Osaka 2025 edition, and there was a lot of anticipation going into this card. This card was fucking stacked, man, straight up. I think it fully delivered. Yeah, just, dude, give me some of your overall thoughts just on kind of the vibe of the show. We had a lot of stuff happen. We had three, as I'm going to call it, slap your mama matches. Like, they were fucking insane. So just, where are you at right now?
Yeah, I mean, I had a really good fucking time watching New Beginnings in Osaka last night. I really enjoyed the show. It's funny, too. Like, I kept me abreast all weekend, especially even while I was sick. Like, hey, pay-per-view Monday, are you fucking excited? I'm like, yeah. Every time, and my brain was just not processing the information. So, like, waking up on Monday, I didn't even fucking realize there was a pay-per-view that night. I was
right?
Covered from my sickness, in case everyone's been following. I am okay now. I will fully be in. This is going to be my first podcast. I'm going to hear the full podcast. I mean, I was here for the full, you know, Spider-Man thing, but I mean, whatever. You know, it's like, we have an easier topic to talk about, and we had plenty of time. But, you know, but even if the show goes the full length today, I still will be here because I'm good. I'm chilling, and it was just a good time. I mean, you know, yeah. And it's I still feel the same way I did about Gabe Kidd a month ago, which sucks because I actually think my idea for Gabe Kidd is fucking dead now after last night. But I mean,
just for the new people, how do you feel about Gabe Kidd?
Well, I was saying after his first match with Kenny that he should win the New Japan Cup this year, and I don't think that's happening now, but I mean, it's not like it couldn't happen. They could finagle that title off of him before that. It's not impossible, but I'd suspect that if they were going to do it, it probably would have been here. You know what I mean? Because it felt like appropriate, especially with his opponent tonight. But we'll get into all that. It was just a really fun show. Two of my fucking favorite matches so far this year across this card. Maybe three, actually. Just like, you know, like
they had three really, really top of the line matches.
100%, and you know, and like, and the Young Bucks are still on fire. You know, like I mean, what else are you expecting? Actually, I'll jump slightly ahead. Now, I really wasn't expecting to see them lose the titles. I mean, I was kind of alluded to, like, oh, maybe they will. I was like,
yeah.
I was expecting maybe a slightly extended run from them in New Japan, but the fact that we're not getting that, you know, just means we're probably going to have them back in AEW sooner rather than later, you know what I mean? Which I'm obviously...
Feels like a safe bet.
Yeah, I'm not against that, especially with all the stuff going on with Kenny right now. There's obviously some stuff there they probably need to address, you know? That being said, though, I mean, hey, look, at the same time, like, I just had a really great time with this show. And, I mean, Charlie, how are you feeling? I had a fucking blast watching New Beginnings in Osaka.
Absolutely. You know, we've been really wanting to watch some more New Japan Pro Wrestling and to really sink our teeth into it. And when you get presented with, outside of Wrestle Kingdom, of course, and Wrestle Dynasty, our first, you know, pay-per-view of the year, if you will, our first big show. And I think it delivered on every level. I feel so much excitement out of this, not even just for the actual show, for some of the groundwork they laid for the future matches. Like, we had a lot of big stories coming out of this, and it already sounds like they've announced Goto's first opponent at the anniversary show. So we'll get into all that here in a little bit. But that being said, let's just kind of run through this thing. We opened up with kind of our classic.
Really quick. So if you just want to talk about the opening match, because I'll just keep it above. I mean, the opening match was fine. I was saying this to you during the match. I still love watching Tanahashi. Even how did you put it? Like a mid Tanahashi match is still better than like 90% of wrestlers out there or something like that.
It's like 100%.
So, you know, and it's like, yeah, he fucking fumbled a couple spots in this and whatever. Who gives a shit? It's Tanahashi. He's the goddamn president. He can do what the fuck he wants. But now, would I feel the same way about Tony Khan if he went out there and wrestled a match? No. But I mean, Tony Khan's not a wrestler. This guy's wrestled for his entire life, so I'm fine with that. And so those are my thoughts on that match. But I do need to grab a water. I meant to do that before we started. But
BRB. Yeah, let's do it. I mean, we opened up with Hiroshi Tanahashi taking on and defeating Togi Makabe. I like the decision to kind of just get this match out there first. I've always been a fan of how New Japan structures their cards. It works so well for me. You know, you get your singles matches out of the way, and then you get all your title matches, boom, 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 right? I've always been a fan of that. I think it works very well. But that being said, I mean, look, this is Tanahashi's final year. It looks like he's in his final year, but it's still Hiroshi fucking Tanahashi. So, yeah, they did what they could to make this match as enjoyable as possible, in my opinion. So, yeah, after such a long career, it is nice to see him, you know, still out there doing the thing. And I'm going to enjoy these matches while we have them, because they're clearly not going to be forever. So,
100%.
The King Kong Lariat was, the King Kong Lariat was flipped into a bridge pin for the 3 count. So, yeah, not offensive, not bad, not great. Just, you know,
fiduciary responsibility to the investors now, you know?
Yeah, a fun welcoming to the show. Speaking of fun welcomings, we then jump into Drilla Maloney moving up to the heavyweight division, taking on and defeating Shingo Takagi. Fuck yes. I am such a big fan of this decision. I think Drilla looks like a heavyweight. He's always looked like a heavyweight. I was saying to you during the show, I'm like, this guy must have been cutting so much when he was being a junior, especially when he first arrived. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if this guy wasn't even having, like, any carbs.
Any real, like, health implications with that when people do that? I'm sure there are. I mean, I do know that, like, aggressively.
No, you just have to – it's prioritizing what you're eating. Yeah.
Yes, 100%. You have to be eating the right things and not just cutting parts out of your diet so that you can eat on less calories or whatever. You still have to be eating a healthy diet just at a less calorie rate, which, I mean –
especially to look like that.
100%. And he looked fucking crazy even when he was smaller. But like the fact that he walks around at a weight like this, because it's kind of a cool trick if it's something you can do healthily that New Japan could pull with some of these bigger guys they plan to use in the heavyweight division. Start them as juniors, show what their athletic abilities can do when they're given a different opportunity than what they would normally be booked as, like anywhere else if they got, you know, brought in at their normal size or whatever, right? But like, then you can move them up like this, and it's a cool evolution that really only happens in Japan. I mean, yeah, you have guys that go from being mid-carders to heavyweights, but generally speaking, in Western wrestling, you don't always have to bulk up to do that.
You can physically see the difference when it happens in Japan, and it's so cool.
Which is a unique thing, and it's working really well for Drilla, and I had my Gabe Kidd plan in my head, but maybe their plan is Drilla, dude. I mean, that would be pretty fucking cool, you know? I mean, he certainly, I think, has earned a spot in that tournament after this match. I mean, fuck.
Yeah, this was a fun match. They were constantly trying to one-up each other in this match. And I was really, really happy to see the result go this way, because if you're going to commit someone to putting them in this division, right? Because now, theoretically, he's going to be in the New Japan Cup. And I just think it's a good decision to have him win this. Heavy, heavy strikes. The gore was beautiful. And this is where Clark Connors came on commentary for the English edition, of course. And Clark Connors, not only did he add like a lot of nuance to the things he was saying, it wasn't just useless commentary. He was having fun while doing it. And he had infectious energy. He was kind of bringing up Walker's energy. Like, Walker's great as it is, and he brings his own style. But his vibing with Clark, I was like, damn, these guys are really bringing the best out of each other. Just sometimes you never know. But that's just more proof that Clark Connors, that guy knows his shit. And he can talk.
I'm going to put him in that category. People like I have like Harley Cameron. I can't think of other examples, but like people that will do everything and anything backstage that are just
Chuck Taylor.
Yeah, the true carnies of pro wrestling that are just, they have every skill set because they wanted to just have a job in pro wrestling. So they learned or at least paid attention enough to how to do everything to be able to at least slot in. You know what? As much as I fucking hate the guy, now CM Punk is probably the fucking prime example, right? Guy can literally, you can hand him a microphone, you can hand him a fucking commentary headset, you can hand him a fucking merch to sell on a thing. Yeah. You can literally do anything with that guy. He will make it work. You know what I mean? And, you know, like, or he'll at least make it convincing. You know what I mean? So, like, it's like, you know, that if Drilla can be like that for New Japan, having a young, non-Japanese guy, you know what I mean, that is that kind of thing. The last guy they had like that I can think of, last couple of guys would be like Jay White and Will, right? And before that,
it's just Kevin, another one of these. It continues the trend of these, like, British guys thriving in Japan.
100%. And I mean, yeah. You know what? The British wrestling scene, honestly, the fact that it resonates so well with the Japanese wrestling scene, not to sidetrack here, but if you really think about it, I mean, what is the British wrestling scene about? It's about like hard hitting and sort of that technical sort of almost like catch as catch can style. You know what I mean? Like, and what is like, Japan is like that and a lot of like other like hard hitting and sort of like, you know, MMA influence and stuff. And you can sort of see how they influence each other and how MMA has influenced both. And it's really fascinating how the two gel really nicely. It's why Zack Sabre Jr. was the world champion walking into this show, because he is like the pure hybrid of all those styles mixed together, as well as like sort of like a submission based sort of, I don't know, grappling style as well. It's a really interesting synergy that the two styles of wrestling, British strong and Japanese strong style, have that just really nicely mixed, especially in this match, because Drilla doesn't look out of place with his wrestling style. But I guarantee if you really broke it down, it's not a Japanese hard hitting wrestling style. It's probably more of a British influenced style. And that's what I think is so fascinating about this match, because on paper, it sounds awesome just because you know how Drilla is and everyone knows who fucking Shingo is at this, at this point. So it's like, you know, like, I mean, it's like, I don't know, man. This was like the first match of the night where my brain just turned off because they were just absolutely leveling each other. There was this spot where, and I think this is kind of the point of turn where we were, I think, should have realized what was going to happen in this match, Charlie, because I don't know that I've ever seen Shingo get fucking manhandled into the barricades like I saw this guy.
It doesn't happen much.
And so, like, because he's an established, like, legit, like, beat the shit out of you kind of guy. You
know? IWGP so like, World Heavyweight Champion.
Yes. So, like, it's like, I think, like, I don't know, dude. And getting a win over a former champion is fucking massive for Drilla's career. I mean, and we were sitting there throughout the match being like, oh, man, imagine if he won this. It'd be fucking incredible. You know what I mean? And then he did. And
it would sell a lot for the rest of the night, and it sure did.
And oh yeah, and so I mean, just yeah. So something like you're feeling about this, I really fucking enjoyed this. There's a lot of really fun spots in this one, and Drilla comes out looking like an absolute superstar. Like, it's absurd. He's on another level now. You know, straight up,
and he's still so young. I mean, his first 21 months in the company now, because now we're going on like his 22nd month. He's already been there that long, and this is real first opportunity now. As a heavyweight, it's great. I mean, he took that learning experience, he's applied it to this, and he's definitely earned a spot in the New Japan Cup. And you could go as far as to say, keep an eye out for Drilla in the G1.
I would be 1,000,000% down. Like, especially like say say he goes into the cup, maybe he doesn't win a bunch. Like, he wins like, you know, he wins like a match or something, but then he doesn't like make it that far or something like that. Or maybe he doesn't even do anything. Maybe he just gets beat.
If they're already putting him over Shingo, I could see him being Final Four.
Oh, yeah, sure, 100%. I'm saying, like, say, like, it doesn't go exactly, like, he doesn't get as far as maybe we'd want him to, right? You know what I mean? Like, to, like, signal that he maybe is, but then he then wins the G1 or something like that, then it's like, okay, you know what I mean? Like, shit, okay, oh, here we go, you know what I mean? So it's like, it really just depends on what their plans are. And I do think Gabe Kidd is also a factor into this. Whatever their plans with Gabe Kidd are going to, obviously, you know, they're not going to both win it at the same time. Like, could you imagine if they were the finals of, like, the G1 or the fucking New Japan Cup?
Talk about pushing young guys, man. 28-year-old Drilla and 27-year-old Gabe Kidd. I mean, come on.
That would be a fun match. Yeah. Fucking, you know that shit would slap, too.
But solid match, and as you can tell, we're pretty excited about what the potential of this means. So, yeah, very, very good. He stood out as much as you'd really want him to. So, we had Great O'Conn take on and defeat Shota Umino. Walker had the call of the night. Shota Umino, balding, broken.
Look, I think during the match, I was just kind of like, okay, this is fine, you know, like, Great O'Conn is fine, you know what I mean? I don't really like spectacular. It's not like, I love him, like, you mentioned, I love him in a tag, especially like a six-man, but like, I
think he's great with Cobb.
Yeah, but like, you know, sometimes singles matches, I just don't know if they really ever get there for me. And Shooter, I do think, needs a little bit of spice to wrestle against for his style to really come out sometimes, you know what I mean?
Seems like we're getting there.
Oh, yeah, 100%. So, and I think, I do think that Shooter is still capable of having a good match, obviously, regardless. And I don't 100%. Think this was a bad match by any stretch of the imagination. It just wasn't really like, you know, you compare it to the other things on the card, it's like, okay, this is like a pretty standard New Japan match, you know what I mean? And it's probably what it was meant to be, right? It's not like, it's just
just pretty mid-match. Mm-hmm. But it's what we're taking away from this is Shooter's fall into darkness is getting even more.
Yes.
He ended up shaving his own head here and just... His dissension into darkness is a really fascinating story that I can't wait to see how it plays out, to be honest. What's he going to look like next month? You know, we've seen people show up at the cup, most notably Sonata a couple years ago, and how different he looked, you know? So people will show up looking different. I think I'm excited to see where this takes us. Up next, we had Sonata, speaking of him, take on and defeat Taichi.
I said it before the match started to our friend Mike, who's been watching the New Japan pay-per-views with us, so shout out, Mike. I was like, bro, Sonata had a rough run toward the end last year, you know? It didn't work out the way we all wanted it to. He's in the shits right now with his gimmick. We'll keep it a bug. I mean, it was fine. We liked it by the time they turned the lights off. I didn't think it was kind of cool, but it was like, you know, whatever. The boombox fucking, you know, shoulder pads were just like,
he's trying something.
It's, hey, gimmicks work in Japan sometimes, so maybe we just don't know, but the crowd fucking loves this shit, right? But Sonata looked fucking like a geek coming out. I'll just keep it a buck. You know what I mean? Like, at least to my eyes, right? You know? So, but when Sonata and Taichi touch, it is, I don't know what it is about these two guys, but it is fucking magic. You know what I mean? Apparently they just need to wrestle each other for like the next 5 years, which, I mean, they can do that in Japan. That's no reason why they couldn't. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like there's like a fucking, you know, cavalcade of opponents both of them need to face. You know what I mean? They could just work this out. You know what I mean? Like, how would they have to, you know? But it probably won't happen. But, you know, we probably will see them wrestle probably seven more times over the next several years than I would think, right? And so, especially if they keep doing this, I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't understand what it is about these two that they work really well together, Charlie. But for some reason, when they have these matches, you know, it just ends up working out really well, you know? And it starts from the beginning, like they, you know, before the bell even rings, you have the attempted assault with the, you know, what the fuck is it? The guitar, you know what I mean? And, yep. Then Taichi gets pissed. So as soon as the bell rings, when the refs like call him for the bell, he grabs a fucking chair and he smacks it out of the back with it, you know, like.
Absolutely. So, and Taichi just, he's always got that crowd in the palm of his hand. I love the guy.
He has a magic power, man. And I think it's like that. And people are going to fucking say, oh, you always say the same things about the same guys. But like, ever since I found out that he is like a product of like the all Japan sort of like aura, you know, I think he carries that with him, bro. I think Japanese wrestling fans know that kind of stuff. And it enhances like their like of somebody, not just because of the association there, but like just being associated with the name Kawada is just fucking legendary. You know what I mean? Like, so I, you know, like it is one of those things where I cannot really find a way to put it into words what it is that I really like about Taichi. And I think that is part of the magic, is that you don't really know what it is, but there's something about, you know, his whole, the way he rips off the, you know, the what do you call it? The detachable pants, whatever you want to call them. You know what I mean? Like when he first comes out, he looks like a fucking like marching band guy or something like that. And he's singing his entrance. Well, he's not really singing, but you know what I mean? Like he's, you know, claiming singing the entrance or whatever. And it's pure, that's the only word I can think to describe Taichi. It's just aura. He has an aura in his entrance. When he's in the ring, it's the only thing I can describe it is like when somebody's so over to the point where they can just like, you know, do like the finger poke of doom and they get the pop of the century. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, they don't know what it is, but somehow they can't manage to capitalize on this. And I don't know what that part is. That's the only criticism I would have of this whole thing is, I don't know if we capitalize on Taichi's ability to work the crowd sometimes. You know what I mean? I don't know, but
he's awesome. He's awesome.
But yeah, I mean, do you have any, I mean, I'm kind of like, it's funny. I haven't really even talked about the individual, like, you know, like, because like, I feel like you can kind of like, you know, if you know New Japan, you know what like kind of stuff happens in these matches. I think I focused mostly on tonight was like the energy. You know, there was a lot of nuts being hit in this match. So, I mean, there's, you know, there's that I guess we can talk about. I mean,
Taichi kept his stiff offense. He always plays up really, really good when he's doing his comebacks. It's one of his fucking specialties. He can sell a comeback so well, and the crowd gets excited every single time. And there was, you know, while the Nards were being touched, the Deadfall was hit for the victory. Bullet Club War Dogs ganged up on him. And Yuya Uemura returned. Another big return, another young guy. And the future of New Japan right now, it's looking beautiful more and more. After every show, it's like more and more exciting. And just four guys, right? So, yeah, I did really like this. So, on to the next. We had the Ichiban Sweet Boys take on and defeat Chaos, Rocky Romero, and Yo for the IWGP to retain their championships. And yeah, I mean, the whole thing here was they were really trying to isolate Yo. That's kind of been the story they've been telling. And just funny little dags at Romero on commentary. And yeah, it was just Rocky Romero and Yo were trying to take advantage of Kosei Fujita being younger. But in the end, it just didn't work out at all. Eagles at one point hit a flying Enziguri into a German suplex combo. And then he got the app Abandon Hope to retain the titles. So TMDK did retain some gold here. Post-match, Taiji Ishimori challenged for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team titles with Robbie X. I'm not too familiar with Robbie X, but it sounds like he's been dabbling in some Bullet Club when they go in. Hey, look,
hear me out. Fucking tirade I went on about how Japanese and British strong styles mix really well. That might be Ishimori's thinking, you know what I mean? I mean, who fucking defines Japanese strong style more than fucking Ishimori anyway, you know what I mean? Like,
yep. I'm digging the Ichiban Sweet Boys, though.
Just
another pretty solid match. Nothing overwhelmingly spectacular, but it was a good time.
100% agreed. Yeah, I mean, let me think. Is there anything else I wanted to add about this? I mean, this is exactly, you want to hear a verbatim rip from my notes here? Because this is, you know, what I wrote. And this is something that, you know, I think is just interesting. I said, Robbie and Kosei always look good, which I think is true. Kosei Fujita always looks fucking phenomenal no matter what, which I think is absolutely ridiculous for, again, how young he is. You know what I mean? Rocky, I consider to be one of the most consistent wrestlers in the business. And you know this because I talk about it on our regular AEW show whenever he's in random matches against people for like 4 or 5 weeks at a time, because that'll just happen sometimes with Rocky. He's just so consistent, you know? And I know that you're not always the biggest fan of his matches, but I think that is part of why I think he's so consistent, because even if you don't necessarily like it, it is going to be what you know, you never have to expect.
I always love when he's tagged up against luchadors.
That's fair. Understandable. And that makes a lot of sense, because he does spend some time in Mexico as well. You know what I mean? So, but I mean, yeah. And then the other thing I wrote was, and I like Yo. I really do like Yo. I think I see a lot of potential still in Yo. You know what I mean? So it's like, everybody in this match on paper, I'm like, okay, I really like all these people going in. So, you know, yeah, I'm not really, you know, I don't know about the next challengers or anything. Like, you know, I don't know much about Robbie X, but I mean, hey, I mean, if this is the run that we're getting out of the Ichiban Sweet Boys, it looks pretty good so far. So, I mean, you know, I'm down for it. And
let's let it roll, you know. I still wonder with Yo. I think, unfortunately, but we've seen this before. It doesn't always be the case. He's a little shorter, so I just feel like he's a heavyweight guy. Every time I see him out there, I'm like, he's so much bigger than when it was Yo and Sho. And now he's almost like 200 pounds at 5'8". So I wonder if they'd give him that buff. New Japan lists him at 5'7.5". They're very specific. They want to always, you know, since he is a junior. But I imagine if he went to heavyweight, they'd up that 5'8", funny enough. But yeah, I always wait to see what we're going to do with Yo. He still never won the junior heavyweight title, even. I love the guy. He's had great tag partners, Sho, Leo Rush, you name it. I've always liked him. And yeah, I'm curious where we go from here with him. So let's get into one of the first, as I said at the beginning, Slappy Mama matches. And we had Konosuke Takeshita take on and defeat Oleg Bolton. Or Bolton Oleg, as some people list it.
Bolton Third Leg, as I like to call him.
Yeah. Wow. What'd you think of this one there, buddy?
Okay, so I'll say this now because I think it is worth saying. As much as I really, really liked this match, of the three, not the best match of the night.
It's definitely rank three.
But that does not mean shit, because all three of these matches are fucking phenomenal. I think the thing that hurts this one, I actually think it should have been a little bit longer, Charlie. I think you might agree.
11 and
a
half minutes.
Yeah. It should be a little bit longer, maybe 15. Yep. Maybe Oleg can't go that long, and that's possible. Oleg may just be like your 10-minute monster. You know, I mean, we've had those guys before, and they really work. I mean, I'll give you, you know who usually is in that spot is the fucking Stone Pitbull. He usually
is still very early on in his singles wrestling career.
Yes. So, and that's true. Yeah, he might just need to get more into ring shape, actually, to be honest with you. He might just need to be able to, because even bigger guys like
just
that.
Just getting more reps, you know? No, Bolton is still young. He's only 31. We have so many young guys.
Oh yeah,
it's insane.
I know. And the future is bright in New Japan if they choose to embrace it. You know what I mean? Which it feels like they are, especially with bringing guys like Konosuke. You know what I mean? So yeah, I mean, this obviously was for the New Japan Never Open Weight Heavyweight Championship. You know, yeah, I mean, I just dude, and like, again, like, Bolton is a big, meaty man. And in Japan, when you're a big, meaty man, you don't just get thrown around. And he was getting tossed around by Konosuke here. And, you know, I said this to you again, and I'm going to keep saying this until it doesn't become a thing. But I don't know. I think I fucking undersell in my head how big Konosuke actually is as a human being sometimes until you put him next to somebody like Oleg Bolton, right? Because Bolton, we've seen next to regular-sized people in Japan. He is a monster by comparison. And Konosuke looks like he's in the same ballpark in size. And I'm just like, oh, so Konosuke isn't just a fucking overachiever for size in Japan, because not every heavyweight in Japan is even that size, you know what I mean? But, like, he's just huge and fucking general, you know what I mean? So I understand now why Konosuke has been, like, the centerpiece for, like, multiple promotions now, you know what I mean?
He carries his 250-plus pounds, whatever he is.
But he carries it
so well. It's
pretty fucking standard. You know what I mean? His chest looks pretty big, but you know.
That's the thing. He's just fucking huge, and it just makes him big.
Oh, 100%.
And then he is tall, too, so don't get it twisted, but
like,
yeah.
I walked up to the dude, he'd tower over me, and I wouldn't be expecting it. I'd be like, oh, hello, sir. You know, so that I just
wanted cinnamon, buddy.
I think this is the one of the first times where I'm just like, damn, because it's tough because some of the big guys in AEW are shorter than other big guys, so I could never really tell. But Konosuke is a fucking massive dude. It's fucking crazy, you know. Now I want to see him next to Big Bill because I think that'll fucking do me in, or next to Satnam Singh if he's still around, you know. Just really good stuff here. I actually thought Bolton looked really good. I think the last time I saw Bolton wrestle, one of the first times I saw him actually wrestling, I remember being like, okay, I think he needs some more stuff in his moveset. I don't know if my brain just didn't care this time because
he might have been a young lion when he saw that.
That's possible. It could have been, you know what I mean? So it's very possible. And I think I remember thinking that
he's always in, it always feels like he's in tag matches.
Yes, so, and that might be what it is, because I've just not seen him do anything. And I feel like he had an actual singles match a while back. Maybe he didn't. I don't know, but either way, the point is, I remember thinking I really liked what I saw from him then, but I could see that, you know, there's some stuff you can add, you know what I mean? Yes. I'm not sure if, like I said, my brain just deleted that thought because I was watching wrestle Konosuke, but at the same time, I think that I don't have that concern anymore. I think this guy, I'm not saying that it's not still stuff that he could add that I would be like, oh, okay, this is cool, you know what I mean? But I'm saying at this point, I'm comfortable. Like, if he was to wrestle more matches with that same moveset, I'd be like, okay. And I don't even think we saw everything he could do in this because it was
coming out party again for him. I mean, we're getting these guys getting these big opportunities and they're excelling. This is already the second one of the night with him and Drilla. Like, they got big singles matches on a big show and they excelled. And these guys were beating the crap out of each other. So there was a Bolton shake at one point that transitioned to a Bolton bomb that was really cool. Takeshita hit his Blue Thunder Bomb. Oh, it's so beautiful every single time, you know. And one of the things that I love, because I'm that guy, and I always love it when they're just going for wrist control, and they were trading wrist control at the end here, and Takeshita threw one of the deadliest strikes I think we fucking see all night, and he was trying to choke him out.
Wait, buddy.
He was trying to choke him out. It looked like he was going to get the choke out victory, but then Takeshita stopped it. Hit a raging fire, and yeah, beautiful stuff. After the match, Roihei Oiwa came out and greeted Takeshita. Sounds like that's next, Oiwa versus Takeshita. And we're talking about these young guys again. Oiwa, fucking, like, he's like 26 or 27. I mean, come on. But overall, I just thought this match was executed pretty fucking perfectly. And Oleg is someone who has traditionally been presented as this guy who's the unstoppable, you know, fucking force. So Takeshita fits like a glove in New Japan. I'll say it every time. I can't wait till he's here full time, because it will happen. It could be 2 years. It could be 2 months. Who knows? Whenever his fucking contracts are done. But when he's here full time, it's going to be really, really special.
I almost wonder if, like, they could work out a deal. Didn't somebody have a deal? Was it Will? Is it can, like, basically freely work New Japan if he wants to, like, or something like that? Like, if it's not, probably not Will, but, like, is there somebody?
Probably Shibata, but even Shibata reps AEW.
Right, but I'm saying, like, he could be signed to.
Yeah, we haven't seen someone like this yet.
Well, maybe that could be – he should maybe be the one that breaks that mold, man. Because, I mean, look, you have TNA basically as part of WWE at this point, right? You know, if New Japan was going to partner with anybody, let's be honest, it probably should be AEW, because AEW has treated them far better than any other wrestling company, maybe than Ring – maybe I'm not sure what their relationship really was with, like, Ring of Honor. But, like, I'm assuming, you know, even so, like, even if that one was the best one ever, like, it's still probably closer to that than it is to anything else.
When we're talking top-end talent, like, we're sending – the Young Bucks are going over. Takeshita's going over. Like
Jack Perry, yeah. And granted, that was for us more than anything. But I mean, Jack Perry benefited from it, and they benefited from Jack Perry, I think. So it's like, you know.
And can't forget Kenny Omega. I mean, the top guy. So
it's true. Yeah. I mean, so, I mean, hey, you know, it's I think there's a call for that. If that's not really possible, like if there's still just too much politics involved for Tony Khan to overcome, that's fine. Not that I'm saying
they're making it work now, but I think eventually when the time is right,
lose him, unfortunately. And Takeshita fumbled by Tony Khan. We'll have to keep it a buck. You know what I mean?
No, I don't think Takeshita wants to stay. Based on stuff we've heard too, I don't think Takeshita wants to live the rest of his life in America.
No, that's fair. Actually, I think he did essentially do like what sounded like initially an excursion, and then he extended it essentially. You know what I mean? Because he was having such a good time wrestling in America. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
And he's probably going to do like a 3 to 5 year excursion in AEW.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hope they capitalize on it and he wins the AEW World Championship too, so we can have that on his resume.
Yeah, that would be huge, because then he probably comes in and probably almost immediately wins the world title in New Japan. I mean, he's already been a champion in New Japan, so he can win that before he even gets off.
Yeah, we've seen Moxley win the New Japan title last year, so Takeshita could very well win it.
He absolutely win it, and then just not really. And unfortunately for us, I think that would mean he probably wouldn't be on AEW very much, because he's not going to do what Moxley did, and just, you know. I mean, Moxley was there.
Takeshita's the only person I'm willing to accept that, though.
Oh, 100%, because then we know he'd just be wrestling.
I'd be sad.
And, you know,
but I'd be like, you know what? We get to watch him monthly in New Japan, and it's going to be fucking brilliant. We had L.I.J., Tetsuya Naito, and Hiromu Takahashi take on and defeat the Young Bucks. Pretty solid match. Nothing extraordinary, but the Young Bucks were doing some hard key carrying in this match. I thought, again, this wasn't Naito's best outing we've ever seen, but the Young Bucks were firing on all cylinders. They're having a lot of fun in New Japan, and it is really funny trying to see.
It's an unpopular question, but it needs to be asked. Are they wasting Hiromu's good years by tagging him with fucking guys like Naito and like not having him go after the
world? No, because we say guys like Naito, but he's like probably the most beloved guy on the roster right now.
Naito is not going to be able to get their title run's not going to be like legacy stuff. For it will be talked about that way, but like they're not going to be showing highlights of these matches.
It's just you finally get to be able to do it. It's one of those things, and it is funny to see Hiromu wrestling as a heavyweight. He's trying to embrace it, and he's bringing a comedy aspect to it. It's fun. It is fun, because he's done literally everything you can do in the juniors.
When he gets done with this, do you think he wins the world title then? You think that's like, this is like the passing of the torch moment, like where once he's, you know...
I just don't know if he goes for the world title. I have no idea. Because he's kind of, you know, one of the guys now where he's won the junior title so much. He's already talked about as one of the better juniors of all time. He's not like old. It's just weird. I don't know. I mean, they have an opportunity now to explore different stuff. We'll see where it goes. I think the open weight championship is something he's got a better chance of diving for, maybe. But I mean, we're talking about a guy that basically feels like he's going to win the best of super juniors every year. So, yeah, but it was a pretty solid match. It was refreshing to see the Bucks in New Japan again. I've enjoyed their time. I hope this gave them a New Japan wrestling bug, and they want to wrestle here a few more times a year. So, because it is enjoyable to see those boys out there. All right, let's get into it. IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship match. Yota Tsuji versus Gabe Kidd ends in a draw. Woo, buddy. This was passion. This was death. I mean, these guys beat the living fuck out of each other. And if there were people still wondering, does Gabe Kidd have it? I feel like their questions have been answered. These specific two are future world champions in New Japan. Very well could be this year. I still think Tsuji, he might be the one, right? It might be Kidd. Who knows? One of these guys, they are so fucking good. I love when you are able to have a draw and have it hit the way that they did, because now you can continue down the line. It was just, it's so refreshing. Gabe Kidd has the palm of New Japan in his hands. Or, well, you know what I mean. And it's just, imagine, Duke, they have another match this year, probably in the climax or something. And then the third match to cap it all off, main event, Wrestle Kingdom, Yoda Tsuji versus Gabe Kidd. There you go.
I mean, dude, honestly, that sounds like a pretty fucking stellar way to fucking cap things off. You know what I mean? I remember you were saying, like, when they were like, there was this spot where they were just fucking still trying to murder each other after the fucking bell rings. And you're like, oh, yeah, no, three matches. I don't care what the fuck they're doing with the rest of these guys, the rest of this year. They're feuding for a while now, though. You don't just walk away from this. These guys want to fucking kill each other, you know? Like, and I was like, yeah.
I mean, you could do the thing where you just straight up go, you do the beginning in Osaka, yep. You run it back at Dominion, yep. And then at some point along the lines, one of them wins the title, one of them wins the G1, and you run it back at Wrestle Kingdom. It's almost the Kenny Omega Okada thing, if you wanted to kind of script how you did theirs, that trilogy. It was very spread out.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Well, that's spread out over years, that one was. You know what I mean? Like,
so, yeah, this would be just so good. And Yoda Tsuji, at Wrestle Kingdom or Wrestle Dynasty, whichever one he wrestled at, they're the same thing, right? He basically, he didn't use his chops. And I was telling our buddy, I'm like, dude, this guy's chops, they stand out so much. By the end of this match, it just reminded me, this guy throws my favorite chops in wrestling right now. He fucking hurts you. It hurts. Give me him versus fucking Walter in a chop off and maybe toss in Roddy Strong on top and let's just see what happens. Someone's walking away with a caved in chest.
Now imagine this guy chopping a triple chop off this guy, Walter and Ilya Dragunov.
Someone's going to die.
I throw Brian in there too, because Brian could throw a good chop.
And this is another one of those examples of the match didn't need to be. And I love these matches, but I'm just playing devil's advocate here. This wasn't some 45-minute epic where they sold for a fuckload of the time. I love those matches as much as the next one, but not every match needs to be that, right? This was 21 minutes of just straight-up fucking death, carnage, and chaos, and it worked so well.
He's a madman, you know.
I'm a madman, you know. I can't wait to see what Gabe does next. I can't wait to see what Yoda does next.
It is like I had my plan for Gabe Kidd winning the cup. You know what I mean? That was my idea in my head. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't even care now. This plan's better. Go with this plan. Have them kill each other for months. I'm down. Just send it. And then have them fight for everything. I don't care. Do it. Fuck it. Send it.
We had some more post-match here as what my favorite. God, I love. This is one of the reasons New Japan pay-per-views always hit like crack. Immediately following the match, you usually get your setup to the next thing. And I've always loved it. You know, whenever Kenny Omega beats someone, you're like, oh, who's he going to wrestle next? And you see Yoshihashi walk out. You're like, all right, it's Yoshi. Let's go. Let's do it. Post-match, Evil returns. So I'm assuming Evil is officially re-signed with New Japan Pro Wrestling. There were some people thinking he'd show up in the Rumble. Again, I never bought it. I think he's way too good for New Japan. This House of Torture is hated by him.
Here's the thing, I know I said the whole thing about, but like, hear me out. If a guy's contract is up in New Japan and they're planning on re-signing him anyway, I mean, maybe he just didn't want to do it, but like, maybe a scenario comes up where everybody's like, hey, do you want to be in the Rumble, but we're not going to sign you just so we can have a New Japan guy show
for
up
for a moment.
That would be kind of cool.
It'd be cool.
I don't think WWE would do it, but I mean, it'd be kind of cool if they were like not sticklers about stuff like that, you know?
It would be awesome. And he beat up Yoda here, right? So he's going to be the next global heavyweight championship challenger. And then he actually started beating up Gabe Kidd. And it sounds like finally House of Torture is going to be its own faction. It's no longer a subsection of Bullet Club. It's no longer a part of Bullet Club. And Clark Connors was hilarious on this when Walker was translating it. He's like, wow, they're no longer a part. Clark goes, well, if that's the case, fuck those guys. He was so good rooting on Gabe here. And eventually, once they started doing the beatdown on Gabe, Clark had to hit the ring and, you know, cracked over the skull. He sold that for a couple minutes. But yeah, I love this. Evil versus Yoda. Look, I'm not a super fan of Evil's matches, but people in Japan love him. So who am I to, you know? And I look forward to seeing what happens next with Gabe. How does the Bullet Club work out from this? Important to note, he did mention to tell Finley, who Finley also is still up in the air if he's back. God, I hope he's back, because best match I've ever seen the guy have was at Wrestle Dynasty. So talk about raising your stock. But it's just another really positive segment and positive vibes going forward into our main event, where son of a bitch, on a different night, I might have cracked a fucking tear myself. Hirooki Goto, some dubbed as the greatest wrestler in New Japan's history to not win the world championship. Well, you can't say that anymore. He's defeated Zack Sabre Jr., and he's the new IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. Just let's thoughts on the moment of him winning and just kind of the vibes and all of that, and then we'll get into the match a little bit and talk about Sabre's title in general. But how are you feeling now? We kind of both agreed during his entrance. We were like, you know what? I think I'm rooting for the guy. I'm all in. And we were
like, didn't they show like video from like every time he had an opportunity at the world title, even like the old history of the title that it deleted. Like, here's the thing. Like, when you do that, obviously, Japan is very, very much loves to signal stuff like that. It's, hey, we're about to do this thing. Be fucking excited, because they wanted the crowd to start feeling the emotions, because they wanted to elicit the reaction of people, women, and everybody else in the crowd crying at the end, including Goto himself. You know what I mean? I mean, like, it's one of those things that Japan does better than anybody else, I think, sometimes. And again, maybe this is why we should just become New Japan fans and say, like, even though we do an AEW podcast as our primary podcast, right? Like, that maybe for our taste, maybe New Japan is, because we say often New Japan does this better, New Japan does that better. And a lot of times it's the core things of wrestling.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and since I founded it, it's always been my favorite wrestling company.
So it's like, you know, maybe we can say that. Maybe we are a little bit of marks for New Japan, because every time I watch New Japan, I have a really good time. And I definitely have times where I'm bored watching other wrestling. You know what I mean? So it's like, and I don't think I ever feel that while watching New Japan. There are matches where I'm like, man, this isn't really for me. But like, I can at least like tune it out, have something else going on in the background, whatever. You know what I mean? And be fine until we get to something interesting. You know what I mean? So like, I don't know, like, but I mean, just the moment is incredible. I mean, it's a crowning achievement for a guy who's been working his entire career toward this. You know, I think even in this match, we were like, is this the time where we were still questioning? And then I think that says a lot about where this guy needed to win this year, you know? I think I don't know how long this reign's going to be, but I think this is something that needed to happen.
Yeah. I think he's gonna hold it for a little bit, but I mean, okay.
New Japan title range is so hard.
I wouldn't be shocked if the cup winner is the guy that takes it off of him. I don't think we're gonna have a scenario where he's main eventing the Dome next year. I'll just say that.
Yeah, I think that's more what I was getting at. I don't know if it's gonna be like I don't think it's gonna be like when Okada holds it and just never loses it, but you know, like it's gonna be memorable.
Like a Samoa Joe reign, right?
Absolutely. And that Samoa Joe reign, I'll still defend it. You know, it was great. It was short, but it was exactly what it needed to be. You know what I mean? So, actually, it wasn't really short. It just was shorter than a lot of AEW title reigns, I guess. But yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, it is.
It was a good 3 months, and he got a lot of stuff done. He had Hook's best match of AEW to this day.
Absolutely. Still.
And yeah, it was fun. So getting into the match itself, there was about like 10 to 12 minutes of this match that it was so tension filled and it was just so like anxiety filled of what you're about to, what's happening. And that is I'm always going to give him credit, because that is where Zack Sabre Jr. is fucking so great. He knows how, it doesn't matter who he's wrestling, he knows how to create that tension in the ring. And it's because of his holds. It's because of the counters. And everyone that's
73 different ways to win a match. And you yes. see him do all of them. They've all won a match. Every one of those submissions you saw him do in this match, I guarantee he's won a match with in the past. Or at least he's either probably at least helped him win a match in the past. His style is so uniquely suited to pretty much take down anybody in any company, because there's not really much countering you can do to the kind of wrestling that he does. And so at every moment of every match, it's a possibility. A match with Zach could go 30 seconds or it could go 30 minutes. It really just depends on what capability you have to stop what he's trying to do.
Absolutely. And, it seems like last summer, Goto kind of proved that he could be the guy that New Japan's looking for right now. And they led into this with the emotional moments of his father and this, that, and the other. And you felt that emotion during the match. And it's not like Zach was working as like a carny heel or anything. He was working as Zack Sabre Jr., the world champion. And it was very, very good. Look, as much as the next guy, do I wish Zach held the title longer? Sure. But when you have a moment like this, it's so important in wrestling. I don't care about, padding the fucking stat book. I don't like the record book. I don't care about that. When the time comes and you have the moment ready, I've always felt take advantage, strike while the iron's hot. And how the crowd reacted, how people online have reacted, this was clearly the perfect choice. And now everyone's excited to see Goto as world champion. And it's going to be a lot of fun. This was one of Zach's, He gets a lot of credit for knowing how to just change up the match and how to carry his matches. And I don't mean carry like an, oh, he fucking Goto was a bad wrestler or anything. It's just Zach's style. He can't help but carry a match because he's always the one like pushing it forward because of his fucking style. It's up there, man. I mean, he has elevated his career too. Because you go back to the Danielson match last year at the same show, that's everyone still points that as the best match of his career. And he might have topped it a year later. He is that good. He has perfected his craft. And I can't wait to see what Zach does next too. Maybe Zach goes straight into the cup, right? Who knows? But I've enjoyed his title reign. I've enjoyed him at the top of the helm in New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's been something I've always kind of wanted to see, and it's finally here. It finally happened. And now Hirooki Goto's the 12th champion. So I look forward to seeing what he does next. In the post-match, he mentioned, in the backstage commentary or whatever the hell they do there, their interviews, he mentioned he'd like to challenge Hiroshi Tanahashi. And that wasn't the only one. They also had mentioned, I think it was Togi Makabe. He said, you know what? I haven't had a world title chance in 10 years. Let me show with these young kids what it's all about. So, yeah, I think they're going to do like a couple little fun things at the anniversary show. And we'll see where that goes. But, it was Yuji Nagata. That's who it was. Blue Justice, right? So, yeah, I think those will be fun little spots. But what do you think of him just kind of walking out of the gate and being like, you know what, Tanahashi, I'm the top guy. I want you.
I mean, I think it makes sense, and I also think it wouldn't be surprising for me if multiple world champions were challenged by Tanahashi this year, you know what I mean? Because Tanahashi
is his final year.
And I almost can see Tanahashi pulling a similar to Shawn Michaels, where he tries to get all these opportunities and he can just give them to himself now, but maybe just getting them doesn't mean he's going to win them now, you know what I mean? Maybe he is toward that part of his career where he needs, and I think that's the story that they try to go with. First of all, I really respect the shit out of Tanahashi for being the one in charge and deciding to do that, you know what I mean? But it's still pretty cool either way. So I think that'll be really cool. I'm in for whatever they're going to do with this. Yep. I could be 3 months from now saying, man, I really, really want this title off Goto. I don't think that'll be the case, but that is always a possibility, I suppose. But at this point I'm locked in on for whatever they're willing to give me. Cause I mean, I didn't know what to expect going into this show, and I walked away having had a really, really good time. So I'm willing to let them tell me the story they want to tell this year.
Yeah. So, overall, just a really enjoyable show, and upcoming for New Japan, they do the Fantastica Mania stuff with CMLL, which I don't usually watch. It's just kind of one of those things. It's a bunch of bunch of house show fun that I'm sure a lot of people can get into. And then March 6th, they have the anniversary event. As of this moment, the only championship or the only match announced for it is El Desperado versus Francesco Akira for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. Then the next day, guys, New Japan Cup starts. So New Japan Cup carries us through all of March. I look forward to seeing who's announced in the New Japan Cup. I'm sure when that happens, we'll be covering that on our weekly show of Eat, Sleep, Elite. That being said, guys, if this is your first time listening to us, we do a weekly podcast. It's focusing on AEW, and it's just a blast. We break down a lot of different things that go down it. We always have our favorites of the week, and it's just kind of one of those things of, in wrestling, if you can't tell from our show today, we like to talk about the positives, because there's enough fucking negative goddamn interest on wrestling online every single corner you look in. So, that being said, Duke, any closing thoughts you had before we get out of here for the people?
The only real closing thought I have is, you know, just enjoy pro wrestling. That's what you really should do. If you're a fan of wrestling, I think that, you know, you should just enjoy what you love. Like, I feel like there's not enough of that these days. I feel like people are so caught up in, like, social media and, like, you know, like, trying to, like, I don't even know, like, almost, like, just, like, they're so caught up in, like, the day-to-day that it's difficult to, like, sit down and just, like, I feel like that's where a lot of the animosity comes from, is, like, people just, their lives are, you know, not the greatest thing or whatever, you know.
It's almost a pissing contest of who can be shittier to each other sometimes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, people just, like, want to, like, take the bad feelings that they have from their, like, but it's, like, the whole point of wrestling entertainment in general is to be, a, like, you know, like, a, I mean, I know people are going to be like, what? But the word distraction is actually, like, not necessarily a negative thing always. You know, sometimes you need to decompress. Sometimes you need to disconnect from reality. We're all about escapism on this, you know, podcast network, if you want to call it that. You know, like, you know,
So it's all about when you're going to a movie, man. You're escaping.
100%.
You're turning your brain off. You're entering a different world. That's why it's so fucking awesome.
And that's what pro wrestling's supposed to be at the end of the day. So I've never understood this dissonance between that and other art, because it's the same thing. It's just in, like, a live fashion, which I don't know. Maybe that's, people just can't suspend their disbelief like that. But I don't know. But, like, I just, like, want to enjoy pro wrestling, man. That's where I'm at, you know? Like, I don't know. Like,
I couldn't agree more.
And I have been. So, especially since I stopped engaging with a lot of the BS online and only with the stuff I really want to, you know? So, like.
Especially since the migration over to Blue Sky, which we haven't even mentioned that this show. Oh, Charlie with an X instead of an A. And at Bane Duke, if you feel like interacting with us. Shit, if you use Blue Sky a lot, you might already be mutuals with us on there. So we've been in kind of the wrestling things for a long time on Blue Sky, and it's been a blast. It's refreshing. So it was fun. We were skeeting along with the show last night. So thanks again, everyone, and we'll be covering New Japan of the New Japan Cup during our AEW show. But yeah, hope to catch you guys there, and. Catch you on the flip side, everybody.